Okay, so I'm joined in the back room of Pine Vinyl by Lanterns on the Lake, who are Hazel, Ol and Paul.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Welcome. And you've just finished, I think, an amazing set. You really sounded very, very good. And you admitted during that set that you were a bit tired. You've only had an hour's sleep, you said.
Yeah, I think collectively we've had about an hour's sleep. We were playing in Bristol last night, and it took us quite a while to find our travel lodge. I think we got there about 2 in the morning.
2 in the morning, yeah.
And we were up at 6:30 for a radio thing on Radio 4, and there are one or two snorers in the band, so it wasn't a healthy
mix. It didn't
mix.
Go well.
No.
The sleeping didn't go well.
And you're living the high life already. You've given it away there because you're staying in travel lodges.
Exactly,
yeah. You've made it.
It's really classy situation, yeah.
So tell us about the new record, which is called Until the Colours Run, which is a very intriguing title. But before you tell me about the album, tell me about your name as a band, Lanterns on the Lake. Where does that originate from?
Basically, it's because it's probably not a very interesting answer. I think it was just the we had a well. You probably know that it's really difficult to find a band name which isn't already taken.
Or that isn't very good.
That isn't, yeah. And I think the only other one that was mentioned was a favourite of Paul's, which was the Squirrels.
Hey, I really like
which
that.
Nobody else wanted to go for at all. And I think I saw a photograph of some lanterns on a lake, and we were like, yeah, maybe it would be a bit different. It kind of conjures up an image rather than, you know, like a specific band name. And we just thought it might be a bit different, and we just went for it.
I think it's a thing of mystery, and
yeah.
I think your sound is quite mysterious, so I think it's quite a good choice.
Oh, thank
the Squirrels
you.
Is nice, but you know, I think
it doesn't quite reflect the scene.
No. So let's move to the album. This is your second album.
Yep.
And tell me a bit about the kind of theme, or the kind of the title of that, because it's
There's no real theme. I think it's just a real mixture of ideas and stories in the songs. Probably quite a lot of that was influenced by things that were going on at the time when we were recording. There was probably a bit of anxiety, a bit of worry about how things were going to go in the future for us. There was also quite a lot of excitement about working on new material as well. And I think, yeah, it's just it's the result of just a mixture of feelings from the time.
It was a really funny time to make music, because I always think when you listen to the music that we've made in the past, and then when I think about what we were all doing and feeling at the time, the music we make is very reflective of how we're all feeling as a collective group of people. So this record really kind of reflect, like as Hazel said, there was a lot of weird things going on, and a lot of them not all good. So
try to capture them.
Yeah, I mean, without trying to, it just, I remember when we started recording the record, after we'd kind of turned the songs into what was going to be on the album, and listening back to the speakers, and I remember thinking, what are we doing here? this is different.
So, I was asking David, your tour manager, earlier on, about a number of things, and I said to him that you were kind of on my long-range radar. I'd heard of you, but I'd not really heard you, if that makes,
right, yeah.
makes sense. And I said to him, the first things I read was that you were a Geordie band. You're from Newcastle upon Tyne, a city I love. I used to live in Newcastle myself.
Oh,
right, cool.
And I said to him, the album really reminded me of the kind of Tyneside scape, if you like, if Tyneside is a word.
Yeah.
So, do you think that place is kind of, has Newcastle come out in the record? And
I think wherever you live or wherever you're from is going to come across in the sound. Like, I think with the first record, there's a lot to do with the sea. And I live at the coast, and I think that's, like, obviously you're just influenced by what's around you. On this album, I think Another Tale from Another English Town is probably reflective of like the things that were going on that we were seeing in Newcastle or the northeast at the time. You know, a lot of job losses and that kind of thing.
It's interesting. The other thing I read, it seems that the music press only recognise from the northeast Jimmy Nail, Sting, or Dire Straits. That's about it, isn't it? But there is a big scene there, isn't there? There is a big local music scene, like most cities.
I think at the moment it's probably about as good as it's certainly ever been since we've been playing in Newcastle. There seem to be loads and loads of really good, exciting bands around at the moment. Some of them are breaking into the mainstream, some of them are kind of on that edge, but I don't think there's a Newcastle sound, but I think there's so many different types of bands covering all sorts of different types of genres and making really, really good quality music. It's just a great time in Newcastle to be making music and to be playing it and to be going out and, you know, for us to be punters as well and go and see gigs. And that's kind of also been reflected in kind of like a kind of cultural regeneration of like venues and that kind of thing. It's really great.
There are a number of the references. I always ask bands about their references, and kind of, you know, people say, "Oh, who do they sound like?" You know, and it's always a horrible question because people think, "Oh, we don't sound like anybody." You know, we're kind of different. You know, but when I was listening to your music, there were two that stuck in my head really, and I'll duck if you're going to throw things at me. One was there's an element of, I think, Sigur Rós in terms of that kind of ambient kind of landscape. Mm-hmm. Sound, if you like. I'm glad you're all nodding, that's good. The second one that struck me, and Hazel, it's partly your voice actually, it was Hooverphonic, if you've ever come across Hooverphonic.
No.
I think a Swedish band.
Okay.
A little bit more, I think it's fair to say, a little bit more disco than yourself.
Right.
But they do have elements, so it reminded me. But
Hooverphonic?
In a very positive way,
I'll check them out.
Google, isn't it?
Okay, so, Hooverphonic.
And your sound, would you say, has changed quite a bit from the first record? There are a few changes in terms of vocal and focus on single vocal, perhaps.
I think hopefully the sound will just progress and how we write songs will change over time anyway with all the records that we make. I think we definitely made a conscious effort to hopefully make this record sound different to the last one. I mean, we're not going to, you know, become like a rap group or a metal band overnight, but
that'd be amazing, wouldn't it?
There's still going to be those elements there, but I do think we'd do make a conscious effort to, like, don't know, just kind of step forward each time and do things a little bit different or make things sound bigger or, you know.
At your own pace as well, I think that's the kind of important thing.
Again.
Paul, I noticed earlier you were doing something slightly unconventional with an electric guitar.
Okay.
You were playing it with a stave, kind of violin stave.
Okay.
Which I would bracket as unconventional.
Okay.
And the key question I wanted to ask you is, have you ever played the saw?
No.
Ah.
I haven't.
Is that something you consider?
I would consider it. We do have a saw.
Yeah, we did buy one.
But,
I just think we didn't get around to it.
Yeah, we had a big plan for one of the tracks on the record was going to have a musical saw. I think you were going to play it all.
I think you wanted me to play it, but I don't think I've heard that it's the most difficult instrument in the world to play. So I think that kind of put me off.
I don't know.
The triangle, I probably would have been more inclined to give a go.
It's a standard B&Q saw. Would that work? I don't know.
I guess I've seen Richard Hawley play a saw,
right?
Which is quite impressive, but it didn't have teeth. So I wonder if there are particular musical saws.
You can just get a saw from B&Q. I think you can just get a thin, and it's a certain type of one, but you can just buy them from.
If it had
B&Q.
Teeth, though, being on tour, that's that's like a deadly weapon.
It could come in handy though if you needed
could
some
also
wood
remove
for a fire.
How have you found touring so far? Because you've been playing a number of dates. In fact, I've got some of them written down here. You played Sunderland.
Yes.
Is that allowed for a Geordie band to play Sunderland?
Oh, it's tentative.
Okay.
But, they let us in.
Yeah.
They let us out as well.
Fair enough. But you've done some gigs in London, you've done Bristol, you've done Edinburgh.
Yes.
And you're going on to do Brighton and Oxford and Cardiff, I think, as well.
Yeah, and London.
We're back in London. The first London one we did was at Rough Trade.
Mm-hmm.
It's like an in-store thing, but it was with the full band. And we're playing at Bush Hall next week, so we're really looking forward to that.
Yeah, that is a good venue.
Yeah, I've heard it's nice.
We love touring. So.
Yeah, and how's the gig's been going, as it were? Been well received?
Really good. It's been kind of odd this time. There's people been singing the words and dancing to our music, which is interesting. But the reaction to the new stuff has just been amazing, and we've been having so much fun playing and. It's just been really good. I think we're all in a bit of pain now. I don't know if we're playing harder than we used to, but my hand hurts.
I think at the beginning, there's a lot of, the gigs are kind of fueled by the excitement of it all, and there's a nervous energy there, and as the longer you go, that kind of diminishes a little bit, but you just get so into playing the songs and so much more used to it, and it just kind of becomes easier, it's kind of less of a nervous occasion as you go as you go on, but they just kind of you can kind of release your own energy a little bit easier, I think.
And what about when you're all squeezed up cosily in the back of the transit, somewhere on the A1M or wherever you're travelling. What kind of things are you listening to on the road? Are you you listening to your own stuff to remember the words, or are you listening to?
Actually, our radio, the CD system in this van is bust, we've not been listening to any music. But
you're getting lots of practice on the way.
Well, it's just nice to have a break from music when you're not playing it. I think our ears need a rest, and there's a lot of just catching up on sleep or staring out the window going on.
Last question, the really important question. We are at Pine Vinyl, so it's not just all about vinyl and about music. The important stuff in life. Pies. What pies have you gone for? Are you big pie eaters?
That is the best question we've ever been asked.
We try.
We've had a few
we
pies
love pies.
On this
we have, actually.
It has been the pie tour, hasn't
we
it?
Had, three days in a row we had. Steak. Well, I had steak and ale pie the other day.
Looking at the three of you, it doesn't look like your habitual pie, I have to say.
Well,
just give it another couple of weeks.
Yeah.
So, what have you chosen? What have you gone for? Can you?
Today, I have gone for Matador.
The Matador, popular choice.
I've gone for the Moo and Blue.
The Moo and Blue.
And I've also gone for the Matador.
A bit of a team effort there.
Yeah. It's the chorizo, isn't it? I just want it.
Well, let me say thanks, really, for coming down to Pie and Vinyl. You sounded great earlier. We got some of the tracks recorded, excitingly, for the podcast. And I wish you all the best for the tour. And I wish you every success with the album.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for the time. Thanks.
Cheers.
Then I'll fit to breathe our air, to breathe our air. They've been warned 1,000 times this year. We were sold on a sweet young lie, a sweet young lie. Another tale from another English town, from another English town. stop till they see us in the ground. Till they see us in the ground. We don't wanna fight, we want the quiet life.